Well, it's a joy to be able to be here together today. Let me just read a couple cards that were sent into the church in the last couple of weeks, and just to share them. It says, "Dear Awana Church family, thank you for the personal gift that you gave to us for speaking at the overnighter. It allowed us to replace our broken yard trimmer. Thank you for your generosity and care for us as your Awana missionaries, Randy and Donna Myers." A few, I guess it was almost 2 months ago now, they spoke for the teen spring jam. And in doing that, I wanted just to be a blessing. We want to be a blessing to them and give them a gift that would help just to care for them in whatever. And so they're grateful for that. Another card that came in then as well, "To my church family, thank you for all your prayers and concerns about my mom and Jim's grandma. It was greatly appreciated. Please keep us still in prayer as we continue to grieve." And this is from the Morenic and Gilfillan family. Jim's grandmother, Pat's mother, passed away, a month ago? And so they sent that in to us. And so we should continue to be praying for them as well through this time and all that they are still working through. And then another, this is not a note, but something just to keep in prayer. Noah DeBeese. Where's Noah? Noah's in the back there. Noah is going to be leaving us next week on the 27th. We're not getting rid of him. He's leaving, but he's going to serve the Lord, and we're excited for this. He's going out to Life Action Ministries, which is a ministry that that is really all about revival, and they go into different churches. We've had Life Action, a team from Life Action Ministries, come to this church a couple of times, and so Noah's going out there to serve and volunteer. This is not a paid thing, but he's going out there for four or five weeks, and to be able to minister there to the different people that are coming through and do different things for them. He might be in the kitchen, might be in maintenance, might be doing activities, might be working sound. We're not sure what he's doing, but it's basically you come and serve, and we'll put you to work. And it's a volunteer kind of thing, so we're excited for Noah, and I'm not sure if his parents are more excited to get rid of you or no. But you know, to be using your summer vacation to serve the Lord is awesome. It really is awesome, and we appreciate that. How about if we just stop right now, and let's go to the Lord in prayer? It's great, by the way. The other thing, great to have the Grossmans with us. They have come down to be with us through today. And they'll be in the area. They are vacationing. So I asked him if you want to share anything, if you want to preach. And he said, "I'm just needing a vacation." And so I said, "Okay, you can be off the hook this time." But he'll be preaching for us November, I think it's 16th. So that is scheduled for November. We're looking forward to him coming back for that. But they're here. You can bug them and ask them questions and give them hugs and let them know that we love them. And so it's great to have the Grossmans here with us this morning. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer just for these different things. Can I ask Asa, would you stand there and just lead us in prayer? I've never been the type of person that likes to wait for things. Now, some of you are great at waiting. I'm not one of those people. This week, my kids finished school for the year, and now summer begins for them. Some kids are still in school. Kids, how many of you are still in school? Oh, man, that's just not right. I mean, going right up to the end of June, I feel for you. I'm not even making fun of you. I think if I were in your shoes, I would really be struggling with bitterness right now. I hope the schools are air-conditioned. At least there's some comfort there. I don't know if all of them are or not. But so my kids finished up school this week, and so they're excited. I guess a couple of them finished on Wednesday, and the others finished on Friday. And this is the latest I've seen school go for our area ever, and because of the winter that we had. And it's one of those things where, for me, when I was in school, in high school for certain, when I was in school, I would look forward to those last days. I mean, I didn't like school. You know, that was not me. I was not a good student, and it wasn't until God did a mighty work in me through other people and things that God turned me around, and I went from being a need-to-be-kicked-out student to a student that loved to be there and was getting an A average, which blew me away, and I was surprised at. But it was amazing. That's God's work in me. It wasn't me all of a sudden getting a brain. It was God saying, "Here, I'm going to give you this gift." And in high school, though, I could not wait. I'm not an indoor person. I don't like to sit all the time. I like to be active and always doing something. I have not changed there. I'm still there. And so at the end of the school year, the last about 6 months, I had this countdown going on, and then 5 months, and I'm like, oh, it's almost there in the new year, you know, and I'm like, oh, man, it's on. And I couldn't wait. And then the last couple of weeks before school was out, this coming soon, this summer, I can't wait. And the daily countdown. Anybody with me? Anybody do that? I am the only one in this congregation. Are you kidding me? Okay, there's like five. Okay, that's ridiculous. You all enjoy just sitting? Going to school, so I could preach for 3 hours. You'd be good with it. Just turn the air on, Pastor. I'm fine. Right. You know, I couldn't wait for that to occur, for summer to begin. It was what was coming soon. Not that I had to have anything special planned for the summer, but I just didn't have to go to school. I didn't care about getting up in the morning. That was fine with me. It's just I didn't want to sit all day long. Coming soon, this is our message title, and coming soon can have good and bad connotations to it, right? Coming soon, school's about out. Coming soon, school's about to begin. It won't be long that you'll go into Target or Walmart, and you'll have back-to-school specials, and you're like, no, you know, and this coming soon happens on both sides of things. Well, I want to take today and talk about what is going on with Berean, and what is coming soon for Berean. Over the past several years, we've been rebuilding this ministry to be what God wants it to be. And what we've been doing is we've made some changes to be able to enable us to engage our communities to experience Christ. And what that means is we have been doing everything possible to go out and to reach the people across the street. And many of you, probably about half the church here, are recipients of that. You weren't coming here 3-4 years ago. You started coming, and it's as a result of the changes that we had been making. And I am thrilled for what God has allowed for us to do and the changes that we've been making and the emphasis on going and reaching people that has been going on. And so I'm thrilled about where we are and where we're heading. We're not done yet. So I'm excited. I just really am excited. I don't know about you, but I don't like to borrow things. Anybody like that? You don't like to borrow things? Okay. When I do, and every now and again, I borrow something, and when I do, the thing I've been taught and I try to practice is that I bring it back to that person in what kind of condition? Better condition, same or better condition as the way that I received that, okay? God has lent us this thing called the church. This is his deal. He owns it. I've had people say, so you're the pastor, right? Do you own the church? No. I haven't paid a single dime for this. But Jesus gave his life for it. He paid for all of it. So here we are. We've been lent this thing called the church. And at the end of my time, however long God allows me, however long God allows you to be part of this body of believers, which we have no idea. But however long, I want and my desire, my passion is, and I hope it's yours as well, that I can say at the end of my time and at the end of your time that we'll be saying, we're giving it back to you, Lord, better than when we started here. Same or better, and we're hoping for better. And so we keep on making adjustments to be able to make things better, to change for the purpose of pleasing God and reaching people more effectively. So we're aiming basically toward a better tomorrow. So how do we do that as a church? Here's how we do that. We need to identify the future by recognizing who we are being like today. Identify the future by recognizing who we are being like today. This is in your notes. If you're taking notes, you fill the blank in. How do you, if I were to say, hey, we need to look at the future and figure out where we should be and where we want to be, we can figure out the future by where we are today. Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to spend some time this morning. So if you'd turn your Bibles and open to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 is where we'll begin. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Here, the text that we're looking at, Matthew chapter 7, this is the concluding part of Jesus' first recorded message. When you look at things that are antiques and things that are valuable, the very first record that was recorded by, say, the Beatles or something like that, the very first recorded song by Elvis, or the very first edition of this or that or the other thing, the first edition, first copied Bible, whatever, you look and say, man, that's really valuable. Here's the first recorded message of Jesus. And in that, he's saying some significant things in the conclusion of that message I want for us to hear. He says, beware, watch out, look out for false prophets. Today, we live in a time where there are a ton of false prophets. When I look at the kids going to schools, basically in schools, they're taught that God is essentially dead. God doesn't really exist. God has no significant purpose and point for their lives. They're taught all kinds of things that are opposing and belittling and saying God's just useless. And I understand that God is useless to them, but God is not dead. He's not. And we have a huge chore, a huge responsibility, weight around us of understanding that we need to look out for the false prophets. There are many, many, many. He says, beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? I mean, this is so simple, right? I don't have to explain this. When you go out to an apple tree, you expect what to grow out of it? Okay, you go out and you go to the vine and it's a grapevine, what do you expect to grow out of it? Okay, you don't go out to the weeds out in the garden or out front and dandelions expect to be able to pull orange from that, yes? Like, you haven't done that recently? Hey, go get me an orange. Okay, I'll go out to the dandelion. It doesn't work that way. So we understand. This is easy stuff, and Jesus makes it very plain for us to understand. It says, verse 17, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. You can recognize the future by looking at today. You can recognize what the potential is based on what you see coming out today. Here's the fruit. You look and you say, wow, that's a good, healthy tree. I can see by the bark. I can see by the leaves. I can see by the lack of disease on things. I can see by the fruit. This is a good, healthy tree. And so we understand, looking at this, I can see from the future. I can see the potential. I can see that this is going to be a good thing. So you can identify the future by recognizing who we are being like today. Now, the problem is there's a lot of false teachers that put on themselves and they paint on and say, look at me, I'm an apple tree. Look at me, I'm an orange tree. Look at me, and they paint all these things. Look, I've got the real hope. Let me show you where real joy is. Let me show you how to succeed in life. And they paint all these different things on there that are against Christ. And they're ravenous wolves. And at the end of it, you'll find destruction for your life. And some of you, you totally understand that because you've lived it. And now you come and you say, I get the other side. We're going to talk about rules in a few weeks, why God gave us rules. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks. It's going to be awesome study. Can't wait to get there. But here, he says, here's the fruit that you should be inspecting and looking at. And when you recognize what the fruit is on the vine, what it looks like on the outside, you recognize that this is genuine and true, and you can see the future through this. Real Christ followers should do some fruit inspection from time to time. We should take a moment and be able to look at ourselves and say, where am I really? By God's grace, a real Christ follower understands that we are forgiven. This huge debt, this debt that we could not pay for, this thing called sin. We've been forgiven this huge debt through Jesus Christ. And so because of that, because of all that he's done for us, real Christ followers are not pretending plastic. Real Christ followers then choose not to be bitter, angry, hateful kind of people, but instead are grace-filled and loving. Yes? That's how the church should be all the time. Yes? Yeah, that should identify us, real followers of Christ. Man, you come into this place because there's real followers of Christ here. You would find absolute love. You'd find grace that's just poured out, and you'd find forgiveness when you blow it. Man, you'll be forgiven. That's a real Christ. That's great fruit. Not grapefruit, but great fruit, okay? And so we should come to expect that if we are a Christ follower. A real Christ follower will realize then, you say, yeah, I know, I should be forgiven. Yeah, I should be grace-filled, but you don't know what they did to me. And you've been there too, right? I understand that. So a real Christ follower say, there's some tension in what you just said. So here's what I'm going to do. Because I'm so messed up, because I'm a work in progress, and I've got a lot of work to do to be in progress, because of that, I'm going to show up, I'm going to be here on a weekly basis so that God can invest into my life and I can grow to be everything that God wants me to grow. And it's beyond Sunday morning. It's going to be every day. It's going to be as Psalm chapter 1, as David says there, I'm going to meditate in the Word of God how often? Day and night. I'm going to dive into this thing and I'm going to say, God, keep making me who you want me to be. Mold me and shape me. I blew it yesterday, but by your grace, I don't want to blow it tomorrow. So keep showing me your power through your word and how I can live that out. So essentially what happens then as we do that, we grow in humility. That's real fruit. We don't grow in arrogance. Look at me. I'm a great apple. I'm the greatest apple Christian you'll ever meet. Woohoo! We don't do that. We grow in humility saying, man, I really blew it, and I'm like this bruised apple, and man, oh man, but by the grace of God, I would be nothing. And we grow in humility and grace and forgiveness toward everyone around us. That's true fruit. Very different than, you've made me mad, so get away from me. I don't like you because of this, so just, it's very different than angry and bitter people. Gracious and forgiving and loving is where we should be. We should be doing some fruit inspection. It's like looking in the mirror. You look in the mirror, and many of you have looked in the mirror this morning, and you either say, I'm good, or oh my, right? And you take a look, and you're like, ah, that's going to be a good day, or oh man, that's going to take a lot of work for it to be a good day, you know? I remember in high school, one of my teachers, she would come into to school, and she was a new teacher. I remember coming in the first couple days, and her hair, she had, you know, hair down like to here or something like that. And her hair basically went straight back. It didn't go down. It went straight back. It was the weirdest thing. She didn't put stuff in it. You could tell she didn't put stuff in it. But it just went straight back. And I'm thinking, does she have any idea what she looks like? Wow. And I remember a couple of his kids were like, did you see her hair? Does it look like that? And after day two, you know, you thought that was just day one and everything. And day two, she came in the same little shovel and everything and just straight back, you know. Like, wow, that's a real hot mess, you know. And day three is the same thing. Was a few days later, like a week or so later, we got there early. The bus got us there early, and I recognized why. She probably looked in the mirror. But on the way in, she rode a bicycle in. And you ride a bicycle with long hair, and what's going to happen to it? I have no idea, but that was probably a good picture of it. You know, we need to take time to look in the mirror. We need to look and inspect spiritually and say, okay, where are we? As a pastor, I look at Berean consistently and constantly. I'm always looking and say, okay, where are we? What's going on? There are some things I have just praised God for. There's some good fruit that I'm seeing right now. I was so thrilled this year with our closing program in Awana. I was so thrilled for Awana this year in that the closing program, we had more parents from the community show up for a closing program than I've ever seen here. That's awesome. I mean, that should be something we get really excited about, not like, oh, whatever. They heard the gospel. This is great. This is good news. I was so excited on Wednesday night. I was so excited. Can I embarrass you? Okay, cool. All right. I was really excited. I can't come on a Wednesday night and get here and stuff, and I see some things going on in the back, and the teens have their s'mores and spider dogs going on in the back there. They've got a couple fire pits going on and everything, and I see the leaders just run around and getting everything going. I know Roger showed up at like 2 in the afternoon or something like that. He's making sure that everything's going, and he's here and doing things, and the other leaders, they're just doing an awesome job putting everything together. I was so thrilled. Here's what I was thrilled for. Number one, I was thrilled for every one of the leaders. Every one of the leaders that I saw just doing some things and serving God in that way, I was thrilled. One of the leaders that was thrilling to me was Rachel. I know that for her to come out right now, and I'm embarrassing you, I'm sorry. No, I'm not really sorry, I'm just doing it. I was so thrilled. Man, a youth pastor's wife that says, I'm like 12 months pregnant, and my sciatica is like killing me, and I'd like to hurt somebody, but still comes out and smiles and talks to the kids and is there around them. I was absolutely thrilled. That's good fruit. That's awesome. I was thrilled for, man, I saw Jeff and Sue. They're running these things back in. They're like putting all this stuff and cleaning up. And it was a great, fantastic night. And one of the things that really was awesome as well, just to top it off, was we had 6 or 7 that I could count, kids from Awana that graduated Awana that came to teens for the first time. Now, I was a youth pastor before I became the senior pastor here. And one of the biggest challenges that we had, and we did all kinds of things to be able to get the kids from Awana to come to youth group. That was one of the biggest challenges, just getting them graduate from here to come to here. I was thrilled. I believe that was probably the most kids I've ever seen come from Awana into the youth group of community kids. That's incredible. That's good fruit. Last week, you know, I went away, and I was thrilled to go away and be with my family for Father's Day weekend. It's just a good tradition that we have going on. And when I left on Tuesday night or Wednesday before that, we had a heavy rainstorm, and water just came in the doors and soaked the downstairs and went down the hallway. And I came in on Wednesday and cleaned it, or it was Tuesday or Thursday. I forget which day. I guess it was Thursday morning. And I cleaned it and stuff like that. But then I left some sprinkle stuff on there, and then I left. And Friday I didn't come in and forgot to go and finish cleaning up. And it really kind of isn't my job to do all that stuff, but I kind of do it just because I'm weird. But so I left and kind of forgot about it and stuff. And when I got back, I came over here and I was checking some things out, and I saw the carpet was absolutely clean. I thought, that's awesome. That's awesome. That somebody cared enough about the church to say, I'll clean it. I don't need the pastor to do it. I'll clean it. I came in this morning, and I've had the stain in my carpet in my office, and I usually leave the office door locked just for various reasons. I came in this morning, and it was clean. This is little things. This is good in that it's not, hey, by the way, pastor, look what I did. I cleaned that spot up for you. I got it. It's for the glory of God. Hey, look at me, pastor. I'm showing up to youth group and spores and spider dogs, and I want to kill these kids, but I'm here. No. It's, you know what? I love these kids, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to reach out and minister to them. That's where we ought to be. That's good fruit. And so I look at Bree and I say, okay, we can focus on some negative things, but that's not where God wants us to be at all. We ought to be focusing on the things that God is doing to grow people. And so just some of those things, I'm thrilled for Noah going away, and just there's so many things, just little things I see. There's some good things happening. There are some good things happening. We need to focus in on that. When we see something, though, that needs to change, we need to make change, yes? So we say, okay, this could improve. So we look in the mirror, and what we see back says, oh, wow, look at that. You know, you make a change. You don't just come out and just say where you are. You make a change to be where you should be. Here's my question for you, and not discussion for today, but maybe you'd go home later on and say to yourself or talk to somebody at home or around you and say, so who am I? What do you see in me? What's going on with me? maybe you should just analyze in and of yourself. And if your glass is half empty kind of a person, I know you're only going to think negative. Woe is me. You're like Eeyore, you know. Maybe on the other side, you should be looking at God and saying, okay, how do I look like God? How do I identify myself as a follower of Jesus? What is he doing in me? And if there's some things when you look at the mirror that you say, you know, this just isn't right, you should not sit there and stay discouraged. You should then look in the mirror and say, by God's grace, this needs to change. So God, help me. Like, take your spiritual comb, run it through my hair. You know, do something. Help me to get from where I am to where you want me to be. And if you can't figure it out, then get some help. Get some help. That's why we have a church. It's his thing. So we can identify the future by recognizing who we are being like today. Let me clarify that a little bit then, because Jesus does in verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and do many works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Here's the reality. Doing spiritual things does not equal being saved. Doing spiritual things does not equal being saved. Just because you come and you show up and you do things because you say, Lord, Lord, look what I did. Look at this. I showed up. I painted this. Or I helped to do this. And I volunteered here. Just because you did that does not mean that you are saved from the wrath to come. Isn't that person saying, look what I did? So often in church, it becomes that. You know, they've got perfect church attendance awards. They volunteered for all kinds of things. They even did the nursery. Oh, man. But they were oftentimes motivated by self. Doing spiritual things does not equal being saved. You know, I run into the kind of motivation of this, and I see where it comes from. It's people that say, I want to feel good about myself by what I do. We can go to church and we can do all kinds of things and serve, and we can do that to kind of appease the guilt feeling that goes on in our heart. And we're like, okay, I can compete with this guilt feeling by doing something good. So the pastor said, hey, we need a volunteer for this. And so we jump on board and we're like, yeah, I'll volunteer because I want to feel better about myself. Motivation. Is there anything in God there? Or is it all about self? Or another that says, I want others to look favorably at me by what I'm doing. Oh, that's a scary one. The pastor gives, you know, I wouldn't do this, but some pastor gives a great guilt trip, you know, kind of thing, and gets you feeling like, oh, man, and you got tears running down at the end of the service, and you've got to volunteer for this. The kids need you. And if you do this, you know, and you're like, well, the pressure's on, but everyone will look at me more favorably if I'm doing this. I want to be that person, and we'll put a nameplate up on the wall if you just give. Really? It's not about that. It's not about what I did or what I do. Another one is, I want God to love me because of what I do. I run into this a lot. People think, I can appease God's wrath if I just do this. You can't appease God's wrath by doing that. Jesus Christ appeased God's wrath for you. It's accepting him and saying, okay, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior from the wrath to come. Real fruit. Totally different than bad and false fruit. Going to church versus being the church. I don't want to be a go-to-church kind of person. I want to be the church. Here's what God's called us to be. And so I let him flow in me and work out from that. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ that's making disciples for Christ. You know, as a pastor, that's one of the things I really strive for, is not to give you any kind of a guilt trip. If you don't want to do the ministry that you're involved in, there's no pressure. Absolutely none. The only guilt trip I'll say, very simply, is in the end, when you stand before the Lord, what are you going to say to him? It's not about me. Yeah, but I'm too tired. The world is run by tired people. Well, I'm so small and insignificant. I heard a great one at one of the graduations I went to this week. Heard a great little quote. If you think you're insignificant, think about a mosquito in a dark room. How insignificant is a mosquito in a dark room? It'll drive you nuts. Have you been there? You can hear the thing buzzing and, you know. There's no person that's too small to be significant in God's eyes, because God is the one that is the significant one that wants to work mightily and powerfully in our lives. It's awesome. So as a pastor, I'm not looking to guilt anybody into serving. I just want to give you the opportunity to please God and let God flow through you to do what he's called you to do. Religion focuses on doing. Christ focuses on being. Big difference. Religion focuses on doing. Here's what you do. You do this and you do that and you do the other thing. Christ focuses on being. Just because you're doing something doesn't mean that you are being a disciple of Christ. So let me give you two quick tips. You ready? Tip number one, stop being busy and start being a disciple. Stop being busy and start being a disciple. Well, I got to do this. Now I got to, listen, be a disciple of Christ. Tip number two, stop making decisions and start making disciples. Stop making decisions and start making disciples. Well, I'm going to decide that from this day forward, I'm going to do this. Well, I'm going to decide that we should be doing that. We make all kinds of decisions. Here's what God's called us to do. Stop making all the decisions. Make disciples. Follow through with what God is laying on your heart instead of just sitting there and saying, well, I made that decision. I'm good. Follow through. Make disciples. So who are you being like today? A wise person will do this. A wise person will inspect their foundation before making something. So here's the last part of Jesus' awesome sermon here. In verse 24, he says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. A wise person is going to inspect the foundation. You don't build on sand. You don't build on something that's not going to hold up. You build on a strong foundation. The strong foundation is Jesus Christ alone. It's not on my strength. It's not on your strength. It's not on this program. It's not on music. It's not on dress. It's not on us. It's on Jesus Christ alone, and only alone him. That's it. End of story. As we look at our church, one of the things that I hear repeatedly, and you could probably echo this back, I hear people say all the time, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. Are you tired? So I can see by the glazed over look on some of your eyes, you're tired. I get it. We live in a tired world. We're tired of going through the motions. We're tired of having one responsibility flowing into the next responsibility and having no opportunity to be able to relax and do anything that's remotely enjoyable. It's just responsibility after responsibility after responsibility. I get it. We're tired. I understand. We live there. In most homes, everybody's working as many hours as the employer tells them to work. It's 40 to 60 hours, sometimes more. And sometimes, and oftentimes, it's a husband and wife that are both working, and you're running like crazy people trying to just catch up to what needs to be going on next. I get it. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38 says this. Let's see if I can get up there. Next one. If anyone thirsts, can I put in there, if anybody's tired, if anybody's worn down, if anybody's like, oh, man, I can't do this. If anybody's there, if anyone thirsts, let them do what? Come to who? Come to? Who's me here? This is Jesus speaking, okay? If anyone thirsts, if anyone's tired, if anybody's empty and saying, oh man, I just can't do this anymore, let them come to? It's come to Jesus and drink. And out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You know what I found? This summer, you're going to get into some things where you say, okay, it's vacation time, it's summertime, woohoo, I can take some time off, and it's going to be so great, I'm not going to have all this responsibility, I'm going to be able to relax, and here's what we do. We plan vacations that are more stressful than regular life. And we come back saying, man, I need a vacation from vacation, you know? And what I've found is that we get into this system and this thinking of, if I could just get some extra sleep, if I could just get, you know, a vacation, then I'll be all better. I'll feel better, and I will be able to quench my thirst. I won't be as tired. I won't be as exhausted. And here's what I found. It works a little bit, but nowhere near getting into being with Jesus. You want to be refreshed? You want to be refreshed? You know, if you feel like, man, I got something going on in my life. You know where it comes down to? Being with Christ. It's, I will be here over the summertime to make sure that I'm allowing God to flow in me so I can understand and see what God wants to do through me. I'm going to make sure that, as I've said many times before, I sit down in my chair, I'm spending the 15 minutes a day with God at the starting point, and I'm spending time with God on a daily basis, and I'm being refreshed in God's Word, and I'm praying, Lord, you know how tired I am. You know I really don't have time for this, but I don't have time not to do this. I have to be here. And we should be there all the time saying, Lord, refresh me, strengthen me. I need that from you. What I found is I can live on little sleep, knowing that I've got a ton of responsibility. I can live on little sleep, put God first in the morning, put God first in the afternoon, and at night, keep God first throughout the day. And what I found is God has an amazing amount of power to work in me to give me the strength to get through every day. How tired do you think Jesus was? When he's on earth, when he's going to the cross, how tired do you think he was? The difference was the flow. Let me illustrate. It's like a fire hydrant. A fire hydrant has a ton of, like, all this pressure of water. A good fire hydrant, when you take that thing off, it just flows straight out of there. And you know this is a good fire hydrant. It's connected to the source. If you're thirsty, let him come to Jesus. And he, out of his heart, will flow rivers of living water. He's going to strengthen. He's going to give you that amazing power and ability to be able to say, okay, God, you're not done with me yet. Just keep on giving me strength. So we have vacation. And vacation isn't time away from God. It's time to have extra time with God. Yes? You take a day off, not so that you can refuse any responsibility and any time with the Lord, but you take a day off so that you can spend extra time because you know the refreshing, replenishing comes from being with him. That's the starting point. And then as you do that, what flows out of that is making disciples. You start with being a disciple, and then flowing out of that is making a disciple. Too often we're more like a little garden hose that will never fight any fires, because we're not being replenished in God's word. Man, Satan's biggest attack is to get us distracted and get us tired, and so tired that we don't spend time with the Lord. We become like a little garden hose or a little squirt gun. We go to a 3-alarm fire with a squirt gun. I got this! We live in a world that has a 3-alarm fire going on, where Satan is attacking at every corner, saying, I want to destroy, I want to destroy. He's a ravenous wolf, and they're all around. Listen, let's stop going with it with a little squirt gun. Let's start going in the power of the Holy Spirit as Jesus leads, because we're getting in the Word, we're spending time with his people, being encouraged, and we're getting up saying, okay, God, lead me to do this. You're bigger than this. I was talking with my kids yesterday as we were talking about Berean and where Berean might be in a year, and I said, you know, what would happen if Berean ends up being twice the size next year? And they're like, oh, that'd be cool. What would happen if Berean ended up being, and we saw 1,000 people get saved? And you know what one of them said? That's impossible. Now, I didn't rebuke them, because I think that most of the church thinks that's impossible for God to do anything mighty, because we're not connected to the source. The Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost, how many people accepted Christ that day? 3,000. They didn't have a prepared music. They didn't have a prepared message. They didn't have PowerPoint. They didn't have a room, an auditorium. They didn't feed them food. They didn't do anything. They just said, okay, we're going to tell you what you did to Jesus. You killed them. Say you're sorry. Okay, let's get baptized. That was the message. Good message. They were connected to the source. And as they were connected to the source, out of their belly, out of their heart, flowed this amazing gush of making disciples. Where should we be today, church? K connected to the source, being a disciple, and then making disciples. Don't just show up because, oh, we have to. No. We get into where we should be because we want to be there to be a disciple of Christ. So really, that's my question. This summer, you say, okay, well, what's coming soon? Like, are you done preaching? Because I want to know what's going on. Look, this is what's coming soon. I want to continue to teach and lead you to be a disciple of Christ so that you can make disciples. That's what's coming soon. That's every day. Does it matter if our church is 100, 200, 5,000, 10,000 people? The only thing that matters is we have 1 million people in reach of our church building right here. We have 1 million, and I just really don't want to see any one of them go to hell. I don't care how big the church is. I just don't want to see people around here going to hell. It bothers me. It bothers me. And I hope it bothers you too. That when you look around, you see all the people that are just driving by. And they have no idea who Jesus is. They have no hope. They're running to this thing, that thing, and the other thing. Antidepressants are at all high. Drug use is so huge. Do you know that, I don't know if you watched the news this past week, but one out of three manufacturing employers that were going to hire a person, one out of three went for a drug test and failed. What does that say? That says to me that we have a whole lot of people. This is what breaks my heart. There's a lot of people that are hopeless, that have no clue as to how to get through their life, and what they're depending on is all kinds of chemicals to make them feel good enough to get through another day. Let me tell you, I don't need another chemical to get through my day. I don't need anything like that because I have the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through me, and I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. He has a mission for me today to do something that is significant for His power and His glory alone. I don't need that. Not because I'm better than anybody else, but because I know the good fruit. I know being connected to Him is the real source of joy, real source of hope. So church, here's what we want to do. Because my assumption is you want to be connected, you want to be a disciple of Christ, yes? You with me, church? Okay? So because you want to be there, we've put together a plan where we want to reach out and hit the community in a way that we can take Christ and just show the community who Christ is in and through us. And so we're going to start in July 4th. We're going to do our parade thing, we'll do a float for the parade once again. Our goal is, starting next Sunday, I've got my slides messed up, my fault. Starting next Sunday is a new series called Be One, Make One. Do you understand what I'm saying? Be a disciple, make a disciple. All summer, this is going to be our theme. Be one, make one. I want to drive into all of us as God is driving into me, as I'm being filled with what He's given me. I want to give this to you. Be a disciple of Christ. Every week, we're going to hit something different. And then, as you are a disciple of Christ, make disciples. You can't make disciples if you're not with Christ. All you'll do is make a social gathering. Anybody can do that. Anybody. So here's what we're going to do. Be a disciple and make disciples. That's our goal. On Wednesday nights, we're doing a refresh, a re-series where it's refresh, renew, and restart. And we're preaching through how do you get refreshed? How do you get there? And going through the book of 1 John and doing that. You're welcome to come out. We'd love to see the entire church come out on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock for that. So starting next Sunday, be one, make one. I hope that you'll be here for that. It starts at, by the way, just so you know, we changed our service time. I know a bunch of you think that our church starts at like 11 or 10:45. We changed it. I'm sorry to offend, but it starts at 10:30. Okay, so starting next week, church starts at 10:30. Okay, we good? So you're like, I don't get what he's saying. You'll figure it out maybe later. So 10:30 is be one, make one. Okay, good. What's my next slide? Let me just follow this. Summer work days. We want to do a float for the parade. July the 2nd, we want to put together the float. We're doing a very simple float this year. It's going to take just a couple of hours of everybody putting this together. I want to spend some time praying on July 2nd and spend some time putting this together. I need a couple people, like two people probably, or one person that can just paint the trailer, the deck of the trailer, just one color. Just put a coat of paint on there, okay, and help me out with that sometime during the week before July 2nd. So if you could let me know or let Rebecca know today, that would be great, all right? for July 4th. We're going to walk in the float, dressed in patriotic attire. We're going to do some different things this year because we're leading up to what we're calling the big day. We'll get back to that. What's next? Work days. What we're doing, on the back of your bulletin, you can read down through this. You can see our summer plans. I'm not going to read this because I know you probably know how to read, or somebody near you knows how to read. Summer plans, you can read through this. We want to just basically refresh our building a bit downstairs, do some painting and some things to be able to make it just spruce it up. And as well, we want to do some training of all of our the people that are running Kids Church and Awana to be able to bring our kids' ministries up a notch. Why? Because kids are valuable. Kids are valuable. We need to reach kids for Christ. They're being indoctrinated by all kinds of false teaching. We need to teach them the truth. God loves them. We need to teach them the truth. God is so gracious and merciful there. And so, as we're doing that, we want to repaint, and we've got a theme working on downstairs, but it's top secret for the kids. Kids are not going to be allowed. Once we lock off the door, we're not going to be allowing any of the kids in there for a few weeks because we want this to be a surprise because we're doing this for them, okay? The preparation team, July the 12th, this is people that are taking everything and cleaning the rooms out, getting things ready for paint, and so that's on July the 12th. You can see in your bulletin some of the details there, and that we'll be doing that from 9 o'clock in the morning and throughout the day. You can be part of that. The painting team, I'm really only looking for people that know how to paint. If you've never painted and you're like, oh, that looks like fun, I can make a mess with that, that's not for you, okay? If you want to clean up the mess, I'll invite you to clean up, but nah, I'm not going to put a paintbrush in your hand because we want the kids to be excited, not saying, wow, is that like a Picasso painting over there? So that's the painting party. I'm looking for about 8 to 10 people, 6, 8, 10 people to help out with that so that we can get in, get it done, and get out very quickly. We're going to do murals on the walls and decorate in a VBS kind of a way. Then the last one, August the 16th, is the finishing team. We're putting all the rooms back together and getting everything ready. Why are we doing this? What we found is the last several years, Vacation Bible School has been successful. It's been great. We've been reaching people in our community. And what we do is we pour all this energy and time into 1 week. What we've decided is this year, instead of pouring all of our energy and time and money into 1 week, we want to pour all of our time, energy, and money into 1 year. Okay? And by doing that, what we're trying to do then is teach through the entire Bible. We want people to walk in and be able to see this is different than it used to be. We want Kids Church to be different. We want to be different. And so as we do that, we're going to be teaching all kinds of things to make things different so that throughout the year we can teach through the entire Bible. In 31 weeks, we're going to go through the entire Bible called The Story and be able to really help people get a hold of the whole of the Bible, if you will. And so we want to basically take VBS and instead of 1 week, we're going to do that for a year, okay? What if we had people that were that excited about kids every week? Could you imagine the kids being mad that their parents came down to pick them up from Kids Church? Could you imagine that? Like, no, I don't want to leave. I love being here. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine kids waking up early on Sunday morning because it's kind of like Christmas? I get to go to that church. They love me. They teach me about Jesus. It's awesome. Could you imagine that? That's what I imagine. That's what I imagine. I get up here and preach and do all kinds of music and all kinds of stuff. I don't want to be boring. If you want to take a nap, do it somewhere else. Because I'm going to do everything I can to keep you engaged in the Word of God, whether it's in song or it's in preaching. It doesn't matter. I want for our kids' ministry to be there as well. I know many of the teachers already are there. I want to give you the information, the ability to go that much further to make it awesome every week. On Easter, we gave it our all. It was a great day. We had, this place was crowded. We had an awesome crowd here, which was great. And we put extra time into the kids' ministry stuff, the music, and all kinds of things. We put extra time into making sure that was great. And people were like, hey, what can I do? Can I do this, this, and this? And it was for one Sunday. What if we love God so much, and he was working us so much that we said, we've got to make our presentation of the gospel that awesome every week? What if every week was Easter? Because aren't we celebrating the same thing every week? That's where we should be, church. And in our kids' ministry is the same. Don't come in tired and, oh, man. You know what you just said to me? You need to be refreshed. You need to be with the Lord. I understand we're tired. I get all that. But we need to make sure we're coming in thrilled to serve the living God. What do I have next? I'm getting distracted. This is like sermon number 3. Oh, the cost. Cost is between $2,000 and $7,000. $2,000 is the base in just getting the painting and the basics done, decorating and stuff like that. $7,000 if we do carpet and stuff as well. So how are we going to take care of this? If I had a checking account here that was just loaded, it'd just be taken care of. We don't, unfortunately, so it's going to rely on us saying to you, if you love Jesus in that kind of way, that you want to reach out to these kids in this kind of way, and God has blessed you with the money or that desire, would you give to this? Period. No big guilt trips. I'm not going to be, you know, twisting your... No, it's just, there it is. Give. Just serve the Lord there. Well, what if God gave us 10,000? Could God do that, by the way? Is your God big enough? What's next? Training schedule. Okay, real quick. Awana Certified Leader Training, Wednesday, July 23rd through 30th, and Sunday, July 27th. This is mandatory Awana training. It's to certify you as leaders. We need to take Awana up a notch to make it a little bit more organized, make us more precise in how we are discipling our kids. We need to make this ministry as great as it possibly can be. Just use it to its maximum ability. The only way we can do that is if all the leaders are on the same page. Okay? Next, kids church training, the story, Wednesday nights in August. We're doing the same thing, adults and kids. We're going through the entire Bible together. Every week, kids are going to get taught the same thing. So if you're serving in kids church, guess what happens? You are actually preparing a lesson that I'm preaching. So you're not going to lose out. I mean, you'll lose out a little bit in that you won't hear the preaching, but you'll probably benefit because you'll be doing the studying. It's a great thing, okay? So we'll be going through that all together. We're looking for the big day. That's where we're heading, September the 7th. It's an outreach day to the community where we're going to be inviting our community to come in and be a part. We're going to put on the best Berean we can possibly do to show off the glory of God. Not about us. Show off the glory of God. To say, this is how great our God is. And we're going to do that September 14th and September 21st. And September 28th, and all the way through October, November, and from that day forward is where we're going to keep on going because we love God that much. Do we have any other slides? Stop being busy. Start being a disciple. Stop making decisions. Start making disciples. You get that? Make sure you're plugged in. Church, what continues to drive me is the 1 million people in our area, in our reach of our church. It's not a game. It's real life. It's real life. And we need to leverage everything possible because of God's love for us and because we love him so much, we need to leverage everything possible to reach at least one more. This year has been excited. This year has been a neat year for me. I'm kind of like a big mouth. I talk about God a lot, more than just in front of you. This is actually the tougher time for me to talk about the Lord because I have to prepare something that sounds organized. But when I'm out talking to people in the street or people at the school or wherever, I just love engaging people in conversation about Jesus. It's so much fun. And I'll invite people to come to church and, hey, come check us out. And the first question is always, well, what do I have to wear? Just clothes, man. Just like cover whatever needs to be covered. That's all I really care about. I don't care what you wear. And that's kind of thing. Well, what's expected of me? Come hang out and check out who God is. We just want to love on you. That's it. So for years, I've been inviting and doing all kinds of things. This year, it's been exciting. God is blessed. People that I've been inviting for 10 years have come to church a couple times this year. It took 10 years, 10 years of consistently saying, as I talked to them and we went out to dinners and we did different things with them and had them over. And so it took 10 years. And finally they showed up. Said, I think I'm going to, and they surprised me. They didn't even tell me they're coming. And I walked in, I'm like, whoa, you know, I about fell over. I was so excited. It was awesome. And then there's a couple other people that this year I invited just off the cuff. Hey, what are you doing on Sunday? Why don't you come to church with me? And they showed up. All because there's 1 million people in reach of this church, and I care about every single one of them. Church, I'm going to ask you to do the same. Be plugged into the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a disciple and make disciples. That's where we need to be every day. There's no reason for us to do anything else but that. Everything else is insignificant. God has given us the power and the ability to do everything that he's called us to do. And maybe this morning, say, that's great for what's coming soon. But Pastor, I am so beat down right now. I understand that, you know, that the fire hydrant thing, I don't even think I got a squirt gun in me right now. And can I just say, God is able. Based on my experience and what I've been through, and when I'm depleted, when I'm beat down, I have seen God do mighty things in and through me. Can you just take borrowed courage from me, if that's where you are today, and just take it and say, okay, really? And there's no spiel like, I'm not trying to get money. There's not. I just want to give you the borrowed courage to say you can get through as God gives you the grace. Can I just pray for you right now and pray for our church as we close? Ace is going to come up then, and we'll have our opportunity to worship the Lord through our offering. But let me just stop and let's just pray together for this. Lord, I know in this room we have people that are excited and thrilled, and we have people that are just weighed down and heavy. We have both sides. Lord, I know in this room there are some people that are saying, I'm just giving this church thing just one more shot. And I'll just come here. Maybe, God, you can do something. Lord, I know that there are some people that are really hurting. So, God, I pray that you would show your great power, that you would quench that thirst. Lord, we're begging for you to do something mighty in us. Not that we'd have a great name, but that we would have hope to get through today, that we would be able to minister to people around us. Lord, be with those that are brokenhearted this morning. Be with those that are hurting. Be with those that have been rejected and are just going through difficult times. Lord, be our God. We'll give you the praise for what you will accomplish through Berean as well, through our efforts of just coming together. Lord, it's not about us. It's all about you. So God, I pray that we'd stay focused on you, and we wouldn't get distracted with any details or anything else, but Lord, we'd stay focused on you. May you be glorified in all that's done and said here. In Jesus' name I pray.